Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon will be relatively short, but straight to the point. So I urge you to pay full attention to the Word of God this morning. Our sermon text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 24. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come. To set this scripture in its context, we'll begin in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with the adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you'd be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you'll by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Here, Jesus is emphasizing that one must not only keep the letter of the law of God, but also the heart and the intent of the law of God in order to attain to kingdom righteousness. Under the Old Testament law, whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. That is, if found guilty of premeditated murder, they will receive the death penalty. But according to Jesus, the bar is set even higher. Hatred, cursing, and the disparaging of another person are all sin. James says this, for every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not be so. And so, here we are, all guilty before God. And if there are any who still believe themselves innocent at this point, you are not in the place where you can receive divine help because you pridefully deceive yourself. You have set yourself as an adversary against God, and you would do well to agree with him at this time. But for those of us who understand that our sin nature is opposed to God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. For the flesh opposes God, but in the Spirit we have received the reconciliation, because we have made peace with God through Jesus Christ, though he was once our adversary, and we were once his adversary. Now, having set the context, let us see how anger, the root of murder, affects our fellowship with the Lord. In our text, we read, "First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come." I wrote the title of the sermon omitting a word in your bulletin on purpose. I wrote, "First, be reconciled to brother." Now, some people may speak after that manner, but the reason it's written that way is so that you can insert a name after the word brother. Who is your brother? I believe that the Lord is speaking of fellow believers here, but we can take it beyond that. We recall the lawyer who, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus showed that man his heart and his prejudices and his hatred that day, even his own idolatry. But friends, let us know this. You will not get out of your Christian duty on a technicality. Don't ever think that it be so. Before we offer any sacrifice of worship, let us be sure that our religion is real. And John says this, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So there goes that loophole. Let us not only concern ourselves with being rid of any hatred, bitterness, or angry root, but let us also love our neighbor as ourselves. We ought to care as much about our brother's spiritual well-being as we do about our own. When something comes up or when there's a disagreement, if there's no principle, no essential principle that you must sacrifice, why do you not rather accept the wrong? Now, what does our text say? If you remember that your brother has something against you, we ought to be as sensitive to our brothers and sisters as we are sensitive ourselves. The Bible instructs us, if it is possible. So sometimes it's not possible, but sometimes it is. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If reconciliation is possible, you must take the initiative and do it. Now, when we first read through our Bibles, many of us struggle to understand some of the difficult passages that we find in it. And one of the more difficult books that we tend to come across is the book of Leviticus. And as we read through the book of Leviticus, we find that there are five essential types of sacrifices. We have the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the last one is the trespass offering. And the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering is that in the case of the sin offering, there's nothing more really you can do to make it right before God. You're just guilty, and that's it. You're guilty before the Lord, you got to offer up your offering. But in the trespass offering, not only are you guilty before God and you have to bring the offering for the sin, but there is also a possibility inherent in the trespass that you'll be able to make restitution before God and before man. And that offering, I think, is what Jesus is speaking about here. That's what would have come up in the mind of the Jew who is hearing these things. If you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, make restitution with your brother, and then go and make restitution before the Lord. And now that we understand this on this side of the cross, let us read Leviticus chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, add 1/5 more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So before we offer any sacrifice of worship, let us be sure that our religion is real. Furthermore, do not be a hypocrite. The hypocrite asks forgiveness from God, but does not repent of sin before the Lord, or when practicable, before men. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What the psalmist said is true. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Having said all these things, let us now walk through the act of worship. Again, in our text and its context, the worshiper has come to offer his trespass offering. But how will you come this morning? Will you come as Saul once came, having blatantly sinned and disobeyed the Lord's commands? He came anyway, presumptuously. To which came the reply through the prophet Samuel. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. But rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from becoming king. God will not be mocked, nor does he have need of hypocrites, that you will long be allowed to play the hypocrite. He will find you out and expose you if you keep on like that. We read of a parable that Jesus once spoke. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." As it was for this tax collector, let it be for you. Repent, reconcile, receive forgiveness and fellowship. And as the colloquial expression goes, I mentioned this to my wife, and she says, "I've never heard that one." So I looked it up. I said, "Yeah, it's a real thing. Lather, rinse, and repeat." Anyone ever heard that expression? Or am I the only one? Okay. It means do the same thing over and over again. Repent, reconcile, receive forgiveness and fellowship, repeat. And as we go about our business, we only need to be washed once, as our Lord said. But as we go about our business in the world, our feet get dirty. We fall into certain manner of sins, sins of the tongue, sins of the mind, sins of the heart. Yes, even overt sins that we commit. But we have a God that we can go to, that we can come to in a spirit of humility like that tax collector did that day. We can repent, we can do a 180, and we can find reconciliation by the blood of his cross. The Lord will not only forgive our sin, but Isaiah tells us, not Isaiah here, Isaiah in the book, although one day Isaiah, hopefully he'll be up here telling us that, right? Amen? Isaiah tells us that not only does God forgive us our sin, but he forgets. He forgets. And he offers us the right hand of fellowship yet again. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, if there be any root of bitterness, hatred, anger in us towards our brother, even if it may be in this place, may we extend the hand of peace, and may we gracefully accept the hand of others. May we extend that hand in peace in our hearts as we prepare to receive the table later on in this service. And Lord, may it be impressed upon us the great lengths that you went through to reconcile us to yourself by paying the penalty for our sin through the shed blood of the cross. And by proving the victory over sin and death by your great resurrection. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.